I am indeed fortunate to be here with so many God brothers. This is very unusual. I'm usually traveling all over the world. There's practically no Prabhupada disciples out there. And come here, it's like an oasis of Prabhupada disciples everywhere. We're a dying breed, actually. Our Prabhupada disciples are regularly departing from this planet. We're a dwindling number. So to come here and to have the association of so many Prabhupada disciples, it's a really a great blessing. So today there's three verses. So I see that the third of the verse is on the board. So what I'll do is I'll read the first two verses to keep it in numerical order, our study. I will read the first two verses, 46 and 47, and then we will responsively chant 48. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 7:10:46. Ye etat punyamakyanam Vishnur Vyopabrimhitam Kirtayat Stradaya Shrutva Karma Pasher Vimuchyate. One who hears and chants this narration about the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is certainly liberated from material bondage without fail. Text 47. Etanyadi purushashasya margendra lilam daityanda yuta pavadang prayata tateta daityat majasya satatang pravrashya punyam shrutvan nubhava makuto vayameti lokam. Prahlad Maharaj was the best among exalted devotees. Anyone who with great attention hears this narration concerning the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, the killing of Hiranyakashipu, and the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Nrsimhadev, surely reaches the spiritual world where there is no anxiety. Text 48. Yuyam Nraloke Bata Buddhi Bhaga Lokam Punana Munaya Abhiyanti Yesham Griham Avasati Iti Sakshat Gudham Padang Brahma Manusha Lingam Yuyam Niloke Bhattaburi Bhaga Lokang Punana Munayo Bhivyanti Yeshang Grihang Avastati Sakshad Tatiti Shakshad Gudang Parang Brahma Manusha Lingam Abhasatiti Yuyang Naloke Bhattaburi Bhaga Lokam Punana Munayo Bhayanti Yesham Grahan Avasatiti Sakshad Gudhang Parang Brahma Manusha Lingam.
Lokam Punana Munayo Vyanti Lingam, Bhushanarusha Lingam. Yang Niloke Vatapuri Bhaga. Lokang Punana Munayo Pavyanti. Yesham Grihan Avasatiti Sakshad. Dung Parang Brahma Manusha Lingam. Yuyan Niloke Variburi Bhaga. Dang varang brahma manusha lingam. Yang niloke bata bhuri bhaga. Lokang punana munayo pavanti. Yeshang grihang avatatiti sakshad. Tang parang brahma manusha lingam. Yuyang niloke bataburi bhaga. Puyang panana munayo bhyanti. Yeshang grihang avatatiti sakshad. Kudang parang brahma manusha lingam. Ladies. Yang niloke bataburi bhaga. Lukang panana munayo bhyanti. Yeshang grihana vatatiti sakshad. Kudhang parang brahma manusha lingam. Yuyang niloke bataburi bhaga. Lokang punana munayo bhyanti. Yeshang grihan avasatiti sakshad. Angarang Brahma Manusha Lingam. Yuyang Niloke Vataburi Bhaga. Ang parang brahma manusha lingam. Yuyam. All of you, the Pandavas, niloke, within this material world, bhata, however, bhuri bhaga, extremely fortunate. Lokam, all the planets, Punana, who can purify, Muniya, great saintly persons, Abhiyanti, almost always come to visit, Yesham, of whom, Grahan, the house, Avasati resides in iti, thus sakshat, directly, gudham, very confidential, param brahma, the supreme personality of Godhead, manushalingam, appearing just like a human being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, our Savior.
Narada Muni continued,
"My dear Maharaj Yudhisthira, all of you, the Pandavas, are extremely fortunate, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, lives in your palace just like a human being. Great saintly persons know this very well, and therefore they constantly visit this house." Purport. After hearing about the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, a pure devotee should be very anxious to follow in his footsteps. But such a devotee might be disappointed, thinking that not every devotee can come to the standard of Prahlad Maharaj. This is the nature of a pure devotee. He always thinks himself to be the lowest, to be incompetent and unqualified. Thus, after hearing the narrations of Prahlad Maharaj's activities, Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was on the same standard of devotional service as Prahlad, might have been thinking of his own humble position. Narada Muni, however, could understand Maharaj Yudhisthira's mind, and therefore he immediately encouraged him by saying that the Pandavas were not less fortunate. They were as good as Prahlad Maharaj, because although Lord Nrisimhadev appeared for Prahlad, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is in original form as Krishna, he was always living with the Pandavas. Although the Pandavas, because of the influence of Krishna's yoga maya, could not think of their fortunate position, every saintly person, including the great sage Narada, could understand it, and therefore they constantly visited Maharaj Yudhisthira. Any pure devotee who is constantly conscious of Krishna is naturally very fortunate. The word niloke, meaning within the material world, indicates that before the Pandavas there had been many, many devotees, such as the descendants of the Yadu dynasty and Vishishta, Marichi, Kashyapa, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, who were all extremely fortunate. The Pandavas, however, were better than all of them because Krishna himself lived with them constantly. Narada Muni therefore specifically mentioned that within this material world, Nirloke, the Pandavas were the most fortunate.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padukamam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sangrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sudaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamascha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Shamaniti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tadine.
It's actually very easy to think oneself as incompetent when we are incompetent. But the difficulty is, even though we are incompetent in so many ways, we think ourselves competent. That is difficulty. The influence of ahankar, false ego, very problematic for us on our pathway of advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we really have to take advantage of the association of devotees. Because in that association, it becomes more easy to realize how incompetent we are. See, looking at ourselves, we're not so expert at finding faults with ourselves. We're very expert at finding fault with others, you see. So we should take advantage of that tendency and associate with devotees. Because they can find the faults with me easier than I can find the faults with myself.
So by associating with devotees, the faults of mine that I'm not so capable of seeing, you can see. You see? You can see my faults better than I can see my faults. Therefore, by your sangha, by your association, I can get a clearer, more objective view of myself. You see, my view of myself is subjective, not objective. You can be more objective than I can. So, by seeing myself through your eyes, I can get a more objective view of myself, a more realistic view of myself, what my faults are, what my deficiencies are. In this way, by getting a more honest, clearer vision of the reality, you see, then I can actually do something to rectify the faults that are polluting my heart for millions and millions of breaths. So this Vaishnava humility, learning how to see oneself in a very lowly and very fallen, is a very, very important principle. We all know the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam, how important that is in our spiritual lives, how essential it is in our spiritual lives. Trinadapi sanichena tororapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should always think himself very lowly and fallen, lower than the star in the street, being more tolerant than a tree, being always ready to offer all respect to others without expecting even the slightest tinge of respect for oneself. In such a state of mind, what can you do? You can always chant Hare Krishna. You see? Nama Ruchi is achieved by those who become humble. Nama Ruchi is actually a very advanced stage. So, what is that first offense in the chanting? To be disrespectful or offensive towards Vaishnavas. So what does this mean? That's the very first principle of chanting Hare Krishna, to avoid offenses towards Vaishnavas. So, the idea is that you can taste nama according to how much you are respectful towards Vaishnava. They are running on parallel tracks. What is the proof? Adiparana yeme bhakta jana parta no me bhakta shtate janaha mad bhaktanam shige bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, no me bhaktas, he is not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. You understand? So how much I'm a devotee of Krishna, only to that extent can I actually become the devotee of Krishna. So how is Krishna manifested in his Kali? Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam. So Krishna is coming as nama. Will I actually feel his presence? No. Not if I'm offensive towards devotees. I will not feel his presence in nama. I will not feel his presence in deity. You see? Prabhupada wrote one of our god sisters, she, Balavi Devi Dasi. He told our god sister, when you chant Hare Krishna japa, try to feel the presence of Krishna. Wow. What a sublime instruction. We don't usually hear that one. You usually say, well, you know, fix your mind on the name Prabhu. But Prabhupada said, feel the presence of Krishna. And then he said, but if you can't do that, fix your mind on the name. You see, but the fix your mind on the name is the second option. The first option is feel the presence of Krishna. So, What's blocking us from feeling the presence of Krishna? Vaishnava aparab. We don't have the proper respect for the devotees. Yeah, those jerks. Sometimes we think that way. Yeah, the devotee doesn't know what he's doing, you know. So we have to realize, well, I may disagree, you know, I may completely disagree with another devotee, but we both agree that Krishna is God and that Prabhupada is his most powerful representative in the history. So let's see what we agree on. And let's celebrate what we agree on. And the disagreements, we can work that out later on. That's a detail. But let's celebrate what we agree on. Is it? And then by that, appreciating devotees, learning how to resonate with devotees, you see, in their presence, and within, even in our remembrances, you see. Devotee association is not only when you're with the devotees. You know that Godbrother Shivananda Sen in the early days, can you imagine? There was no Krishna consciousness on mainland Europe at all. Nothing. A few devotees in the UK, and that was it. Prabhupada sent this boy, a young boy, all alone to West Berlin. He was sleeping in condemned buildings at night in the cold. Can you imagine? He went there and Prabhupada ordered to start a movement. He was, didn't have any association. See, he wrote Prabhupada, I'm missing devotee association, Srila Prabhupada. Did Prabhupada say, all right, then come back? No. Prabhupada said, if you will remember my humble teachings, you will have my association and the association of your God brothers also. Wow. Just by opening Prabhupada's books, I can get all the association of Prabhupada and you also. You see? So don't think that association of devotees only means in physical presence. Doesn't just mean in physical presence. Because we have images and remembrances of the devotees within our hearts. And how we associate with those remembrances and those feelings we have about all those different devotees. You see, that impacts our relationship with the name. So just learn how to love the devotees, really. ISKCON is a facility for loving so many people who have given their lives for Krishna. Learn how to love the devotees more and more and more. You see? And the more you love the devotees, the more you will love chanting. You see? And the more you love chanting, the more you become enchanted by the chanting. Actually, chanting is enchanting. But we don't always experience it as enchanting due to our Vaishnavaparad mentality. But if we, the more we respect the devotees, that chanting will become more and more enchanting. And more you become enchanted with the name means you're becoming more and more enchanted with that Supreme Person who is adept at playing on his flute, who has blooming eyes like lotus petals, whose head is bedecked with peacock's feather, with a figure of beauty, chin with the hue of blue clouds, and whose unique loveliness is charming millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of cupids. Ki jai. I mean, such an amazing person. Round his neck is swinging that garland of flowers, beautified with what? The moon locket. You see? His hands are adorned with flute and jeweled ornaments. He always revels in pastimes of love and his graceful threefold bending form of Shyam Sundra is eternally manifest. His transcendental form is full of bliss, true substantiality. And thus he is full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself, not itself, himself. Because every limb is Krishna himself. It's not that he and his body are different. Every limb of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. So, wow. We actually get to associate with Krishna. Right here. In our bead bags, Krishna appears via our japa. Every day, we get to associate with the Supreme Person, who's the source of everything. The absolute substantive principle, the ultimate entity in the form and the support of all existence. We get to have his association every day to the extent that we can appreciate his devotees. Only to that extent and not beyond that. That's a block, a roadblock. We don't have the right attitude towards devotees. It's up to each and every one of us. Well, we all cultivate our own attitudes. So we really have to learn that attitude of gratitude. That's where it's at. That attitude of gratitude. Just think of all the wonderful things that devotees have done for you in your devotional career and bring you to Krishna consciousness. I go all the way back to 1969 when Makhanlal Das Brahmachari, now he's Bhakti Madhurya Govinda, was preaching to me in Telegraph Avenue. Long-haired hippie, Steve Bridge guitar player. And there was Makhanlal invited me to come to the temple, San Francisco temple for the night. I remember him. He doesn't remember me, actually. He doesn't remember me. Even though I've told him the whole story, he can't remember me at all, but I remember him very well. I spent the night in the basement of that 518 Frederick Street temple. And I remember they had a communal set of beads there on a little peg in the temple room wall for guests, the guest japa beads. Chanted that first round of japa, and wow, it was like euphoria. I remember hitchhiking back to Berkeley after that. I was just like in bliss. I was in euphoric state after one round of japa. So, you know, how much I have to appreciate Makhandal Bhakti Madhurya Govinda Maharaj for that, what he did for me, you see. Sometimes he and I have disagreements. He told me in India, he said, when are you going to take sannyas? Got on my case, you know. But I asked one of my sannyasi godbrothers on GBC, and he said, you know, you're better than sannyas, traveling and preaching with your wife. So, you know, there's some disagreements sometimes. But do I let that give me a negative attitude towards Makhanlal or Bhakti Madhurya Govinda? No. That's a detail that, you know, he wants me to take sannyas and I'm hanging on to vanaprastha, you know. It's a detail. But just remembering how much he blessed me. You see, he's very, very dear in my heart. He's very, very dear in my heart. We do have our disagreements, but it doesn't matter. His association with me is sweeter than the sweetest honey, you see. So in this way, we have to try to appreciate all the devotees. And this way we become blessed with bliss. I mean, Krishna consciousness means to be blissful 24 hours a day, tasting ever-increasing nectar, associating with that sublime person who has unlimited power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame, who's charming all the gopis, all the cows and the calves, and even the butterflies are charmed by his flute. Do you know the butterflies are completely stunned when they hear Krishna play his flute? Yes, even the butterflies are stunned. In this world, we're very proud of our musicians, our Beatles, or this and that. But they may impress a few people, but how much? Take a Beatle album to the zoo and see what the animals do. Do they get all excited about the Beatles? But take Krishna's flute, and the whole universe is stunned. Now, that's a musician. That's an attractive musician. These karmis are not attractive musicians. They're just false imitations of attractive musicians. The real attractive musician is that transcendental flute player. He is super adept Every note that comes out of that flute is sweeter than all the ambrosia that is contained in the entire universe. That's effect. So somehow we just have to connect with him. We just have to learn to feel his presence in those two syllables, Krishna, 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 Krishna. He is fully present. Is it simply some hype? No, Krishna is actually present. Is Krishna real or is he just some make-believe Hindu myth? No, Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is the absolute substantive principle. Prabhupada said, our philosophy is substance. What does that mean? That means Krishna is the substance of everything. Nothing exists separately from Krishna. Nothing. Absolutely nothing exists separately from Krishna. What is the cutoff time? 8:30? 8:30 cutoff? 10 o'clock? What time does it normally end? 7 days is actually the standard for Bhagavatam class, by the way. We abbreviated in ISKCON. The original Bhagavatam class was 7 days. No urine breaks, no water breaks, no prasadam breaks, no nap breaks. 7 days is the standard, but we have to abbreviate it. But I think 8:30 is probably a normal cutoff. 8:30? Okay. Anyway, my beloved godbrother, Sriman Archita Prabhu, he asked that I give some travelogue. So, being the humble servant of my godbrothers, I have to oblige him. But actually, there's two kinds of travel I have to explain, first of all. There's external travel, and here in Devi Dham, which is just a minute portion. We learn from the Brahma Samhita, there's Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, Hari Dham, and Goloka Dham. So traveling within Devi Dham, not that, just a little portion of the real, of what's out there where you can travel. So, the external travel throughout Devi Dham, it's okay, it's enlivening, it's transcendental with the Vaishnavas, but what I've realized after years and years of circling the globe, I've lost count of how many times my wife and I have circled the globe. I just lost count of it. I can't remember. I have no way. Maybe if I really dug, I could do some research. I could figure out how many times we circle the globe. But what I've realized that actually is the internal journey is really where it's at. Traveling within, closer and closer to Krishna. That's the real journey. That's the most exciting, thrilling adventure of all, is to travel within your heart, closer and closer and closer to Krishna. By cultivating, as Ayurveda's explaining, cultivating loving relationships with devotees, cultivating a more and more of a service attitude towards Srila Prabhupada, understanding his teachings more deeply, implementing them more sincerely, in this way increasing the dedication to Prabhupada, the relationship to Vaishnavas. What this does is it actually takes you on a transcendental journey. Instead of flying on an Airbus 380, you're flying on an airplane that's much more powerful, and that is called Mantra Vimana. The Mantra Vimana, the Mantra airplane. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So we do both simultaneously. We're trying to travel in our hearts closer and closer to Krishna. At the same time, we're traveling the globe, presenting the science of Krishna consciousness. Of course, traveling is very good because you get to have more and more loving relationships with more and more devotees, which helps you to travel closer and closer to Krishna. Not only with devotees, but also preaching to the non-devotees is the same principle. The more you can reach out and have loving relationships and touch the hearts of those who are struggling in this material world, that is also a form of loving relationship you're developing. So that also is the same principle. So giving mercy to non-devotees, getting the mercy of the devotees, being merciful towards the devotees. In this way, one is actually making an internal journey closer and closer to that sublime first progenitor who is herding the cows in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees. You see? So anyway, on this journey, we left on this world, around the world tour. We're just completing tomorrow, getting back to Austin. On May 29th, we headed out through London on the way to Mauritius, where we had a very nice week of preaching in various places. Mauritius is quite a nice preaching field. It's a Hindu-majority country, a Hindu government, although the Hindus aren't unified there. They all, you know, you have your Ganesh group, you got your Durga group. They're split up. But the Muslims, even though they're 20% of the population, they're totally together, and they're going to build a big temple better than any Hindu temple on the island. And the Muslims are having 7 or 8 kids per family. The Hindus, 3 or 4 kids. It's just a matter of time before Sharia law comes to Mauritius. That's why our preaching is very important. We have to preach to the Hindus and unify them into one Chaitanya movement. It's very important. All the Hindus in the world, actually, the same thing is going on in many places. We have to bring the Hindus all within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. It's a very important thing in terms of the future of our society. So, but it's very nice preaching there. We have a nice temple in Phoenix there, which is just outside the main city, Port something. The main city. I forget the last. Huh?
Port Louis.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a very, very nice temple. It's really nice because they have Nama huts all over the island. Maybe 30 different things going on in a small country. It's very, very nice. They also have a farm. A beautiful farm with a beautiful temple there. It's very nice. It's very nice. There's a godbrother. Let's see, what is that? His name? I forget. Huh?
Arjuna
Prabhu. Our godbrother is there. He puts out a nice souvenir book for the whole, like the whole ISKCON, for the whole island. Very nice. He puts it out periodically with different articles. Very, very nice preaching going on in Mauritius. And then from there, we went to South Africa. Of course, there's many, 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 many things going on there, but we can't splay ourselves out going to so many places. So we pick a few areas and concentrate on those. We go to Pretoria and also to Lanesia, which is a Johannesburg suburb. Actually, the story of how we ended up preaching in South Africa is quite interesting. Because we were going to Mauritius, then from there we're going to go on to Malaysia. So you have to go through South Africa to get to, you know, on One World, which we use for our flights. That means British Airways from Mauritius to Johannesburg, and then Cathay Pacific from Johannesburg to Hong Kong to Malaysia. So we needed to route ourselves to South Africa. We'd heard some real horror stories about South Africa. We even met one Indian couple in Toronto who left South Africa because they were carjacked by some of the locals. The locals wanted to take their children also. "We want your van also, we're going to take your children." So they had to beg for the lives of their children. "You can have the van, but please let us have our kids. Don't take our children." So they found out, okay, we'll have the kids. So they left South Africa. So we'd heard these kind of stories, and we were a little hesitant. Well, I don't know. We had an overnight stop, so there's... Anyway, we called the Johannesburg Temple, and some Mataji answered the phone. She said, "Yeah, it's really dangerous here, and don't take a cab at night." And of course, we were arriving at night. We think, well, what to do? We'll just, there's a hotel right at the airport, you know, Right outside the door of the airport. A little expensive, but well, we'll pay the extra money just to be safe, you know. We'll stay in the airport hotel and just look both ways, and we come out the door to make sure no one robs us. You know, we really didn't know how bad it would be. And so we arrived. We came out of, you know, customs into the terminal, and there was 20 devotees there with madanga, flower garlands, kirtan, prashadam feast. We went, wow, what's going on here? So you have this e-course, and I have many people in my e-course. So I'd mentioned we were transiting through. And so the word went around that part of South Africa, and so many people from different places, they all came to meet us. It was a complete, we were, wow. So we took them out of the hotel, and we had a festival in the hotel room. Kirtan, lecture, prashadam festival there in that little tiny hotel room. And we thought, maybe we could preach here the next time. And then we got a letter from the GBC apologizing that they didn't receive us nicely. I was going, wow, the GBC is apologizing that we haven't been received nicely. Well, I think we will come back here. This looks pretty good. The GBC is very much welcoming us, the local people. So, yeah, we preach there regularly. We transit through there and stop off in Pretoria and Lanesia and lecture there. And it's nice. I have some disciples there from the Indian community, from the African community. Things are developing nicely there with our preaching. And then... And then we go on to Malaysia from there. And, of course, Malaysia, I told the devotees in Malaysia, yeah, in Mauritius, there's the fear of the Muslims will take over. Here, you don't have to worry about that. They've already taken over. You know, there's big mosques everywhere. Everybody, it's completely a Muslim country. They have religious freedom in their constitution. However, it's pretty limited, religious freedom. If you're a Hindu and you fall in love with a Muslim, you have to become a Muslim and you can't switch back, ever. And if you do, even though it's not illegal, they'll murder you. The neighborhood people will bump you off and it, you know, it's, they'll be ignored by the legal authorities.
Also, you can distribute books.
Huh? That's right. You can't distribute to the Muslims. You'll be in big trouble if you do that. That's right. So there's a certain amount of freedom within the Hindu community, but it's very tightly restricted. Actually, one Hindu man who became a Muslim, they actually get, there's three kinds of IDs. You have a certain ID card. You're a pure-blooded Muslim. That's one type of ID, a real pure Muslim. Or you're a Hindu who became a Muslim. It's another kind of ID. You're kind of like in the middle. Or you're a Hindu. I mean, they have a Chinese one too. But so anyway, one of the local Hindus became a Muslim, then he wanted to become a devotee. So I had to talk with our GB, you know, our general secretary. Can we really do this? Can we initiate him? This is pretty dangerous stuff, you know. But he lives on the other side of the country from Kuala Lumpur. So he came to Kuala Lumpur where nobody knows that he's actually a Muslim, you see. So I initiated him, Vaishnava Das. He's an undercover Hindu, you know, a Muslimized Hindu came to Vaishnavas. So that's an interesting one. So it's, but that it actually makes our devotee community very, very tight-knit. That's the beauty of it. They're very, very tight-knit because they have a wonderful Vaishnava community there in the middle of a Muslim country. Where, you know, they can have temples, but they have to be low-key. You can't compete with the opulence of the mosques. That's not allowed. You got the mosque, huge, glorious, amazing architectural wonders. The temple has to be a little, you know, humble thing. Can't be a big, big opulent temple. That's not allowed. But they're allowed the freedom to have their programs. We have, there's nice programs there. They have about 30 Ratha Yatras a year all over the country. It's amazing thing happening in Malaysia, really. And then from there, we went to Beijing. Actually, I was having a health issue when I got to Kuala Lumpur. I had a very bad cough, and in Indonesia, they were burning down the forest to make agricultural land. Tell the ecologists about that one. But this huge forest fire smoke was coming across the ocean and polluting Malaysia. And it was so bad, you could even smell the smoke from across the ocean. So I was having a hard time with my cough, but it was getting me ready for Beijing. I looked at it that way. I'm getting prepared for Beijing, which is some of the worst pollution in the whole world. They wear industrial quality gas masks to walk down the street. If you see photographs, just go on Google Images and type in Beijing and you'll get an idea of what it's like. Unbelievable. But the devotee association there, wow. It was really, really sweet. But I was warned, you know, no, you got to grow your hair. I did. Grow your hair, you know, don't wear a dhoti. You can't have your neck beads showing, no tilak. You got to wear a hat and cover your sikha. You know, you can't bring him any books. They said, don't have anything about ISKCON on your laptop. Wow. I said, how can I do this? He said, well, just don't make it so prominent. It's okay. I mean, this huge list of don't do this, don't do that, and then you're welcome to China from the authorities. And but anyway, we got to Beijing. They have like the third floor, and they have the whole wing of this apartment building. But there's a whole long hallway, and they have about maybe 10 or 12 rooms and a little temple room at the end. And then you go then across the courtyard where they have a parking lot. On the other side, they have a temple room and a restaurant and a dining hall. It's amazing. Right there in China, they have all this facility. So I got there, and in our room, there was a tilak chart on the wall. I said, well, and some of the men, the Chinese men had tilak. Okay, I put my tilak on again. The Chinese are doing it, so it must be okay. And then one Chinese man had a dhoti on. I went, wow, that's great. Because I couldn't imagine worshiping our deities with karmi pants. I couldn't think of doing it. Because I'd worn them on the airplane. They weren't suchi, you know. So, wow, I got to put on a dhoti. I got to put on tilak. I even put my neck beads out again instead of hiding them, you know. I put 3 strands instead of 2 and putting them inside the shirt, you know. So it was, and then it was TKG's Vyas Puja celebration that Sunday. And it was a big, huge number of the Chinese devotees came. And I could add that actually I was so much appreciating our Tamal Krishna Goswami. The caliber of his preaching can be reflected. You meet his disciples, your jaw drops with awe to consider the caliber of his preaching. This one Mataji does like a little bit of a coordinator, of a sort of a leader there in Beijing, Surabhi Mataji. So he's doing my translation work. She's so sweet. She has such a warm smile on her face. And she's so bright-faced. It was just amazing to see. This is Tamal Krishna Goswami's spiritual daughter. He came to China. He made these people devotees in such a condition. A political situation, he made such sweet, warm, loving devotees. Your heart would melt to think about TKG and how he preached in China, just to see the fruit of his preaching. So it was really nice because there's a big, huge picture of him there, and all his followers were there, and they asked me to give memories of TKG, which I have many. I was with him in Dallas when he started that community. I remember when I was running his tape ministry, even the GBC sent him to China. So I had, you know, I had a lot of interaction with him. So I told him the story, actually, from the Prabhupada Lilamrita, how it's kind of a funny story. all the temple presidents were completely up in arms. Oh, this Tamal Krishna is stealing our brahmacharis. And, you know, they had this big, huge protest in Mayapur with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was talking with him, and Tamal kind of said jokingly, oh, maybe I should go to China, Prabhupada. And then the next morning at Mangal Arati, Prabhupada's servant came down and he said, Tamal Krishna Goswami, Prabhupada wants to talk with you. And he said, oh no, I should have never said that. And sure enough, Prabhupada said, you should go to China. He said, Prabhupada, what about my Prabhupada party? We're distributing more books than anybody else. I have to manage this party. They need me, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you are going to China. And Prabhupada was so angry that he wasn't cooperating. Prabhupada's upper lip started to quiver. And Prabhupada finally gave him the ultimate. He says, okay. He said, I take away your Radharamana party. You either sit here in Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna or you go to China. He said, okay, Prabhupada, if you let me take one man with me. And then Prabhupada walked out in the veranda. He told all the temple presidents there, "We're waiting to see what would be the result of the meeting. Tomorrow Krishna Goswami Maharaj is going to China. Ki jai!" So I told this story that the Chinese devotees, they were in ecstasy to hear that magical, wonderful moment in the history of Prabhupada's pastimes when their spiritual master finally got the injunction to preach in China. So they were really enlivened by that. And it was really, you know, I could really feel TKG's presence there. I mean, you know, so many devotees worshiping him on his honoring his appearance day, and then giving my own memories, personal memories of him also, and very, very sweet personal memories. It was really, really wonderful thing to be there in China, associating with Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Beijing, and it was really, really a special thing. And then from there, we headed on down to Melbourne. We have some really nice preaching going on in Melbourne. Krishna blessed me with a whole crew of disciples down there who really fired up. They arranged all kinds of nice programs for me. And one of my favorites is the Urban Yoga Center, which is a really cool, innovative. This is coming, the innovative brain of Devamrita Swami. Really, really something. They have, of course, they have two restaurants in downtown Melbourne, both successful, the full-on restaurant. Then they have the economy restaurant. Instead of paying, you know, you pay $7.50 normally, or if you're a concessionary person, namely a student with an ID card, you get $5.50 for all you can eat. And even businessmen come there and they pay the $7.50. I mean, why pay $15 when you can pay $7.50 for all you can eat? And it's not on the street level. You go up like one level. They have this thing, the second and third level. They completely max out second and third levels for lunch every day. The place is packed. And then in the evenings, they have the Urban Yoga Center. So they're advertising this, you see. All these people coming for the food. And then they have a kind of a low-key, it's not a Hare Krishna, openly Hare Krishna place. The Urban Yoga Center. But they do chant Hare Krishna. They have classes from Prabhupada's books. The devotees, I think they dress in pants. And of course, I go as a devotee. I preach there. But it's very nice. I have a very special type of lectures there. I remember when Prabhupada was first lecturing at 26th Second Avenue also. He didn't talk so much about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. It's some, but he talked about, you know, dovetailing your consciousness with this individual consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. So you learn how to preach according to a certain situation. So I presented the non-sectarian science of universal consciousness, Krishna consciousness. And so it's a very enlivening place. I get very different type of lectures there, but it's always a very special experience for me. And the people love the kirtan. They really love the kirtan, and so that's a very special, nice thing. And we have the home program there, and one of the, they have so many namahats going on. It's just amazing. In fact, like two blocks from the temple, the rents there are extremely expensive. Melbourne and Sydney are two of the five most expensive cities in the entire world to live. One of my disciples, Madhavananda Prabhu, he lived in the suburbs, but it's so far from the temple, he decided to, many people get apartments in downtown. So I forget how much he paid for the apartment, but $600,000 for the apartment. And for the parking space, he bought the parking space for $50,000 for the parking space for one car. It's just a cement with some white lines, $50,000. So anyway, one of the Nama huts is actually downtown in one of these high-rise apartment buildings, 27th floor. And that's always a treat because you feel like, wow, this elevator is really good. You know, zoom, the 27th floor. You feel like, wow, we've taken elevator number one to the 27th floor, and now it's time to hop onto elevator number two, Hare Krishna, and go to Goloka Vrindavan. So that's what it felt like, you know. The place is packed. They had to tell, don't bring too many of your disciples to this program. I had disciples who'd come from Sydney. They've come from New Zealand, you know, to hear their spiritual master. But they had to tell them, they had to be told they weren't allowed to come to this program because the place is so packed. They didn't. How many? A few of my disciples was allowed, but the place was just absolutely packed. I was up right against the window, and I had everybody move up. They were practically sitting on my lap. But it was the thing is, one thing we do is I'm getting rather deaf from a childhood injury to my ears, the added factor known as old age. I'm rather deaf, so we have a system that people write their questions on a piece of paper. Instead of going, what was that question? What was that question? Speak louder, please. Can you please pronounce more clearly the syllables? What was that? Instead of doing that kind of a thing, we just have them. So I get these questions. These devotees are so full of questions. These are all like congregational members, not initiated. Even the leader was not initiated. And they give me huge, people write huge stacks of the most wonderful questions. I get these huge stacks. It wasn't even time to answer. But I used to do was kind of just like turn them and burn them, go through them really quick, you know, to get them all done. But then Madhavananda said, you know, Guru Maharaj, please answer them qualitatively. So I just, instead of, you know, turning and burning, I would take each one and go deep and thorough on each one. And then whatever was done, was answered. Whatever was not answered was just trashed. So in this way, Krishna blessed me with so many wonderful opportunities to share whatever little I've realized about Krishna consciousness and get new realizations. This is the beauty that I found of preaching from the very beginning. I found that you just by getting out there and preaching, Krishna gives you answers that you didn't even know. Every devotee who preaches has this experience that you learn so many things by reading the books and hearing the lectures, and you learn even more by going out and preaching and having to deal with different questions, and you know what to say, but the super soul says, boom, here it is. And you go, wow, that's really cool. So this is the beauty of, this is why I'm addicted to preaching, traveling, preaching all over the world, because I'm able to get so many loving relationships with devotees and expand my own Krishna consciousness more and more and more and more and more. And people are amazed. Well, how you can, you know, take 60 flights a year? Don't you get exhausted and worn out? Well, hasn't happened yet. I'm getting more energized the more I do it. So maybe I'll reach a point where I can't handle it anymore. But for now, it's I'm getting, buying my next around the world ticket in about a week from now. We actually have our round the world ticket. We buy them like six as far in advance. So anyway. I've gone overtime. I'm not supposed to do them. But is there any questions? I think everybody would. All right. Now you can try your best, Prabhu. I don't guarantee I can hear you. Yes, I'm giving class tomorrow. Long what? Huh? Give more time for the questions. Okay. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. No travel log tomorrow. Jai Javidasukha Prabhu.
I am so happy to see you. I want to tell you something, but I may